You might wonder, is it possible for my child with special needs to receive a rich classical Christian education? Issues Etc. guest Cheryl Swope answers yes. With the Simply Classical curriculum created by Cheryl and published by Memoria Press, there's no reason to withhold a beautiful education from any struggling student. Visit classicalspecialneeds.com and save $5 on your next order by using the coupon code LPR. classicalspecialneeds.com.
After this long journey, today really has been just the culmination of so many people for so many years, and then ending with Brittany Menard's family, both her husband Dan, her mother Debbie, that I'm dear friends with, being involved with this, being terminally ill. Today is truly a bittersweet moment, both for my daughter Bailey and myself.
That's California Right to Die advocate Christy O'Donnell reacting to Governor Jerry Brown's signing of an assisted suicide bill yesterday in California. That's from a CNN interview. What will this mean for Californians? What will it mean for the rest of us? We can see where legalizing assisted suicide actually leads in the Netherlands and other places where it has been legal for a long time. Is it a good idea? The advocates say it's a way to promote death with dignity, but that seems to be a strange kind of dignity. Greetings and welcome to Issues Etc. I'm Todd Wilkin. Thanks for tuning us in live this Tuesday afternoon, the 6th of October. Wesley Smith will join us to talk about the legalization of assisted suicide in California. After that, Dr. John Eastman, professor of law and community service at Chapman University in Orange, California, will join us to respond to some of the things the Democratic presidential candidate Hillary Clinton had to say in a recent speech at a gay rights advocacy group. Mary Carner, the daughter of the late Dr. Maggie Carner, has written an article for The Federalist titled, "My Mom Just Died of Brain Cancer. Here's Why She Opposed Assisted Suicide." We'll talk with her about the real death with dignity. And then Pastor Christopher Hull will join us in hour two. We'll answer the question, how Lutheran is the church planting group 5-2's church planting conference, their Wiki 15 conference, just wrapped up last week. Pastor Brian Wolfmiller will round everything off today. We'll be responding to an evangelical cliche, if you feel God tugging at your heart. Joining us to discuss the legalization of assisted suicide in California, Wesley Smith. He's a senior fellow for the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's a columnist for National Review Online, and he's author of several books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. Wesley, welcome back to Issues Etc.
Thank you very much, Todd.
You read Governor Brown's letter that came along with his signature on the bill that legalized assisted suicide in your state of California. How would you, in a nutshell, explain his reasoning?
A solipsism. He basically said, I read the opponents, I read the proponents, this is what I would want if I were dying in pain, so I'm signing the bill.
Now, did he actually look over and carefully examine all the objections of those who said, look, this is a bad idea for California?
Who knows? I mean, you know, he said he did, but what's really remarkable is that assisted suicide is promoted almost overwhelmingly by white, well-off, privileged people with a sense of entitlement, that they want what they want, and they don't care who gets hurt. On the opposing side, you had many liberals. You had the civil rights community. LULAC, for example, which is the country's largest Latino civil rights organization, is against, because they know that the people they want to represent have difficulty getting access to quality medical care. You have African-American civil rights groups against. You have the disability rights community, which is in the liberal coalition, very much against. And usually, the way I've noticed that the liberal coalition tends to work is they like to all go together, and so they don't tend to leave some of their constituencies behind. But in this case, they did. And what's really remarkable, Todd, is the kind of, I'm trying to think of the right word to describe it, but it was a really unfair and hijacked process. The original bill, which was called AB 128, failed in committee in the Democratic Assembly because this coalition I described, the civil rights advocates, advocates for the poor, disability rights advocates, had convinced enough committee members to say, no, this has problems, we're voting no. Then the governor called a special session, not to deal with this issue. In fact, I don't know of any California legislator who ran on this issue, but to deal with health care funding issues. That process was hijacked by the pro-assisted suicide camp. The head of the assembly stripped the committee that had stopped this bill of all no votes, put in yes votes, and they stuffed it through within a week. It's very interesting. A lot of times pundits wring their hands. Why don't people get more engaged in the political process? Why are people becoming apathetic, etc.? And then they do things like this and don't care. So, you know, the people who worked very hard to defeat this bill were basically stepped on because the fix was in, as they say. And now, I just, in fact, on my blog posted how legalizing assisted suicide increases suicide generally. I have always suspected that. Oregon is the second highest suicide rate in the country. They've had a tremendous increase in suicides between the ages of 35 and 64. The geriatric suicide in Oregon has been called a mental health crisis. And I'm the one who's always, that sound you hear is me yelling, connect the dots. You know, you can't push suicide for some and expect that others who may not be within that definition but understand the message, killing is an acceptable answer to human suffering, will say, well, that doesn't apply to me. And there was just a study released from the Southern Medical Association that showed a statistically significant increase in suicides in the states that have legalized assisted suicide over those states that have not.
No, I was intrigued by the first paragraph of Governor Brown's letter that came with his signature on the bill, and this is what he said. I want to know if this is completely accurate. He says, the crux of the matter is whether the state of California should continue to make it a crime for a dying person to end his life, no matter how great his pain or suffering. Is that an entirely accurate description of what has been legalized here?
It's entirely inaccurate. Suicide is not a crime in any state, because if suicide were a crime, it would kind of miss the point, wouldn't it? But there is no, quote, right, close quote, to suicide. If somebody is suicidal, if a state can demonstrate beyond a reasonable doubt that they are a significant threat to their own safety, their own well-being, people can be hospitalized and treated to stop this suicide ideation. There was somebody who I know just last year who became extremely suicidal. She was hospitalized, even though she didn't want to be. She wanted to kill herself. They gave her treatment with proper psychiatric medicine and so forth, and she's now happy and has her child back. So that is what a compassionate society does. It's not about judging somebody who is suicidal. None of us knows what our limits are. But I think we can rightly criticize those who say, okay, you want to commit suicide? Here, let me hold your coat. Or here are your pills. And I don't think there should be a distinction between my friend who lost her husband and somebody who may have been diagnosed with cancer and been told they have 6 months or less to live, who may fear the worst in terms of suffering, particularly since often people who are told they have 6 months or less to live for years. That does happen. In fact, I've got a friend who was told he had 3 months to live with lung cancer 10 years ago, and he's still kicking. So it is completely inaccurate to say it is against the law for someone to commit suicide. What this law does is authorize, it has been against the law for there to be a joint enterprise in somebody committing suicide. Now, when it comes to doctors and people with that, quote, magic, quote, close quote, my term, diagnosis of 6 months to live, which is very imprecise, that is no longer a crime in California starting at the first of the year, where if I tried to assist somebody's suicide, it still would be. And that's even worse because what this does is gives medical validation to suicide. It tells people, oh, the doctor thinks my life isn't worth living, so it must not be. And also, Todd, what is beginning to happen quite a bit now are what I call suicide parties. that are, that is, people who want assisted suicide are inviting their friends and family to be there to with them when they die. Well, that puts a tremendous pressure on family members to be part of something that they might consider to be profoundly immoral and wrong, or with which they just happen to disagree with. And when people say, yes, I'll attend, it validates the suicidal person's worst fears about themselves, that they don't have a life worth living, that they are a burden, that their family is better off if they commit suicide. In fact, Brittany Maynard, whose case and the multimillion-dollar PR campaign behind it, she wrote before she committed suicide that she was afraid of suffering, although she didn't try hospice to see if they could control it. She wouldn't even try it. And second, she said she wanted to kill herself so that her family would not see her go through decline and have that memory. So in this essence, she put herself out of her family's misery. And that's a real pressure on people. I've heard from dying people who feel that pressure now because there's so much suicide in the air, and they feel that their lives are no longer taken as seriously as somebody who, for example, might not be ill.
And states that have done this, not just here in the United States, but governments that have done this, it seldom stops.
No, the idea of terminal illness is a political con game in this country. It is the foot in the door because the pro-euthanasia people, and that's what they are, understand that this country is very wary of this agenda. But in countries where the population has swallowed the hemlock broadly, meaning that there is wide support for euthanasia-assisted suicide, you've seen doctors, and I'm talking, by the way, specifically about the Netherlands, Belgium, Switzerland, and soon in Canada, because the Canadian Supreme Court recently imposed a nationwide charter right to euthanasia, active euthanasia, lethal injection, even for any medically diagnosed condition, even if the pain is psychological. So this is going to be in Canada, our northern neighbor, a Belgium, imposed by that court. In Belgium and in the Netherlands, doctors have gone from killing the terminally ill who ask for it, to the chronically ill who ask for it, to people with disabilities who ask for it, to the elderly who may not even be sick but are, quote, tired of life who ask for it, to now in the Netherlands, psychiatrists kill mentally ill people at their request, and a psychiatric journal that I read from the Netherlands called it a liberation for the patient and the psychiatrist. In Belgium, elderly couples who are afraid of becoming widowed and don't want to be apart are euthanized together. I know of at least three such cases, and in one such case, the family, the elderly man, husband and wife who died, weren't sick, and the person who procured the death doctor was the son, who said, well, I would not have been able to take care of him. It would have been impossible to care for them, so this was the best for all concerned. It was the best for him. He put his parents out of his own prospective misery. They have joined organ harvesting and euthanasia in Belgium and the Netherlands. I can't think of and the target, the people they target, and I've read medical journals to this effect, are the mentally ill and people with neuromuscular disabilities such as MS. Why? They have good organs. And, in fact, I read one, this is horrible, I read one medical journal, an organ transplant journal, describing the procurement of four lungs from euthanasia people who died by euthanasia and their successful transplant. And one of the people who was euthanized was mentally ill, and their mental illness was self-harm. So the treatment for self-harm was to kill the patient and then take their organs. And what's really insidious is you are telling despairing people with severe mental illness or very difficult problems with in terms of disability that their deaths have greater value than their lives. And the only thing more dangerous than that I can think of is for a society to agree with that premise. And that's precisely what is happening in the Netherlands and Belgium. And once you accept the premise inherent in assisted suicide that killing is an acceptable answer to human suffering, the human suffering cannot possibly in logic be limited to the terminally ill because there are a lot of people who suffer far more seriously and for a far longer period than people who are diagnosed with 6 months or less to live. It's just the premise. And once and if, and hopefully our society will continue to be very wary of this, but if we ever swallow the hemlock widely, as they have over in some countries in Europe, we'll go to the same place that Belgium will go, and we'll go to where the Netherlands. And people will say, well, that's alarmism, Wesley. And I give you two words, Jack Kevorkian. Jack Kevorkian, 70% of the people he assisted in suicide were not terminally ill. Most were depressed and disabled. Five were not sick upon their autopsy, and yet he still gets very good poll numbers in this country, so we're already halfway there.
Wesley Smith is senior fellow at the Discovery Institute Center on Human Exceptionalism. He's a columnist for National Review Online. He's author of several books, including Forced Exit, Euthanasia, Assisted Suicide, and The New Duty to Die. You can purchase this book and read his columns under the Listen On Demand page at issuesetc.org. Wesley, thank you very much.
Thank you, Todd.
When we come back, we're going to spend some time with Dr. John Eastman, professor of law and community service at Chapman University in Orange, California, and chairman of the board for the National Organization for Marriage. He's going to respond to some of the things that presidential candidate Hillary Clinton had to say in a recent speech to a gay rights advocacy group. Stay tuned.
Lutheran Talk.
In Lutheranism, I come as a guilty sinner in need of hearing the forgiving words of Christ every single time I gather. Every single time.
Lutheran Music. The new Lutheran Public Radio app. Download for iPhone, Android, Windows Phone, and Kindle at issuesetc.org.
We know that you want to build your family on the right foundation from the very start, the foundation of Jesus Christ. Concordia Publishing House offers more than 8,000 products for churches, schools, and homes, dedicated customer service, and an experienced staff to help you focus on what matters most. Click to connect at cph.org. Concordia Publishing House, listening, responding, providing for God's people. Concordia Publishing House, cph.org.
Defending life from beginning to end. You're listening to Issues, Etc.
Steadfast Lutherans. People who believe the law condemns everyone and should be preached to the fullest. People who believe the gospel is for everyone and should be preached to its sweetest. Traditional Lutheran doctrine and practice deliver every Sunday this law and gospel, that Christ was crucified for us sinners. To all who received him, who believed in his name, the Gospel of John says, he gave the right to become children of God. To see how Steadfast Lutherans preserves this good news for everyone, visit steadfastlutherans.org.
LutheranReformation.org is the brand new one-stop shop for all things Reformation. It's your source for news, events, history, videos, activities, educational resources, and much, much more. New resources will be added regularly, each one designed to help you celebrate and remember the 500th anniversary of the Reformation. Because Reformation 2017 is still all about Jesus. Visit LutheranReformation.org today. LutheranReformation.org.